Do you know what? You know what Jeremy called me yesterday?
Called him exogene on steroids.
I have that. That's been. I'll never forgive you for that.
That's going to replace God's hitman.
What's whatever you bind on earth?
Whatever you lose. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the fear of God. Did anybody have any thoughts about it or more understanding or fear of breaking the fellowship. Oh, the fear with what he and I, with Gary and I were.
Right.
The expectation of failure.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. It was like, I've never heard that before, and I'm sure on some level or some time that said that.
Well, it's critical.
Because that's how I've always lived.
Right.
The expectation of failure, because you know, it's just like it's been such a part of me that I
But now it's replaced by faith, that he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And so it's all no longer in your hands. I'm not sure I like Kevin over there.
Kevin's like in his way out, like, you know, out of the pattern.
I'm used to seeing Kevin right there. Anyhow, any more with regard to you, Mr. Buckner? That's a good idea.
We had a pretty good Bible study last night, and this that was the topic
for the good. Yeah, because if one of the elders or more had the expectation of failure, then I haven't done my job. So it was a little rough on you, but you have big shoulders.
I had a thought when Joseph was telling you that it's like when Jesus was walking on the water, you know, and Peter's, you know, if you're looking at Jesus, then nothing's there. But, you know, you don't sit there and go, you know, my usual thing is to sink into the water.
Yeah.
You know, this is what usually happens, you know. And that's the whole miracle of faith. It's like,
yeah. It blows Jesus here.
All right, and because of that, that creates, as part of what creates the fear of God, and once that union has been experienced, then the fear of God is that there can be nothing that would break that fellowship, that communion, that whatever. Partaking of the heavenly nature, the whole nine yards of the promises. As I've said in the last few days, the rabbis used to say that, or they still say it probably, that this fear of God was the reason that heaven and earth exist. It was created for the fear of God. And the one who is acknowledged as the wisest man who has ever lived was Solomon. And he ended two of his most important books with reference to the fear of God. And so let's go to the last chapter of Proverbs, last few verses. I turned right to it, apparently, Ronnie. It's because I had a bookmarker in it. Proverbs 31 is normally, if you listen to the modern, look, go in a modern bookstore, there's a jillion Proverbs 31 woman books, because it's supposed to be the ideal woman. And you search and search and search for the Proverbs 31 woman, which is, I promise you won't find her, because the Proverbs 31 woman is the bride. If you try to find a Proverbs 31 woman, it's not going to happen. Anyway, in verse 24, let's start. We can start anywhere. In verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And again, that's the reference to the fear. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs is a contrast. It's not rules for living. It's not, you know. I love it when we get this little adage here, and then we have this little proverb, and this is a little thing you should memorize. Proverbs is the contrast between the whore and the bride, and it's very easy to see the contrast. Psalms is the prayer, is written by the Spirit of Christ in David for Christ in the flesh and now for Christ in you. There's nothing in here about you. And so if you think that these proverbs, and you're going to memorize some little proverbs to use as a weapon against somebody when they don't do what you want them to, then you're just going to be a hearer of the word only, because you just look and you see yourself. Everybody understand that? Okay, let's go to... So the end of Proverbs is about the fear of God. Now let's go to the end of Ecclesiastes. And this is the whole duty of man. And start in chapter 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was with... Excuse me. Preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, if you believe yet, if you don't yet see the purpose of the commandments, then you're going to continue to try and try and try. try and try to do a good job so you don't get in trouble, or try to get to do a good job so you get praise. Try to do things right, and it gets so boring. But if you finally recognize that He alone kept the commandments of God, if you finally come to the knowledge of the entire law, not just little pieces of it that you can accept, then you will understand that He alone kept the commandments. Even in the Old Testament, when it talks about observing or obedience, it uses a strange word, strange set of words, observe to do, observe to do. Even then, the whole mystery of God was caught up in first hearing, and what you hear is what you see. But none of this will be have any meaning to you whatsoever without the fear of God. And just be another add-on to your life, another hunk of clay that you're trying to make the golem acceptable. Peace. All right. Now, get some interesting stuff. I'm not doing too well. If I quit here in a minute, I might just quit. Where he said, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, in Ecclesiastes 3:15. Well, we better go there just to look at it. Make sure you think, make sure you find it. I know that I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. So that's where we studied that. Now, that which hath been is now; that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, the word where it says requireth that which is past is a terrible translation. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. We know, because it's what modern Christianity said, that Jesus Christ is the law made flesh. He is the fulfillment. He is the perfection of the mysterious law of God. We're not the first ones that said that, Christians. For well over 1,000 years, the rabbis have been teaching that what the purpose of this Old Testament is, if we call it that, and the purpose of Torah, the purpose of the writings, the purpose of Proverbs, the purpose of prophets, is to show and to give us a hint of Messiah made flesh. That's what its purpose is. And so when it says that which hath been is now, that which is to be has already been, and they're saying, let me just go through a bunch of them. God decreed that celestial beings should be in heaven and terrestrial beings should be on earth. Moses reversed them. Moses went up to God, and God came down on Mount Sinai. God decreed that terrestrial creatures should eat and drink, and celestial creatures should not. Both Moses and Abraham reversed them. They, when the angels met Abraham, Abraham fed the angels. And Moses, for 40 days, did not eat or drink while he was on the mountain. How could he? He couldn't exist without eating for 40 days. Like drinking, especially. The only reason he existed was because he was in the place of no time. So there was no denigration. So there was he felt the same as he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? If time didn't pass, he could have been there for 40,000 years But they calculated it for in the time of man as 40 years. It's like when I became a believer, when God revealed His Son in me. I felt like I was gone forever, thousands of years. I was gone for a relatively brief time. I was sitting there sobbing. And that experience has happened several times since. When God permits you to visit eternity, there is no denigration. Well, we're going to get more on this. I don't want to get all that yet. God decreed that the sea should remain sea and the dry land should remain dry. Moses made the sea dry and Elisha made the dry a sea. God decreed that the heavens should praise Him. Moses silenced them. God decreed that the sun and the moon should praise Him. Joshua silenced them. God decreed summer should be summer and winter should be winter. Samuel turned summer into winter and Elijah turned winter into summer. God decreed that the day should be day and the night should be night. Let's go. This one's interesting. Let's go there. Genesis 28. The rabbis say that Jacob arose and made day into night. And that's what we're going to look at.
Huh?
Well, you beat me because I was paying attention to the busted Torah. In Joshua 28, verse 10, this is where God appeared to Jacob at Bethel. Beth-El means the house of God. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. Now, the King James says the sun was set. In Hebrew it says he made the sun to set before its time. And there's a great lesson here. It's like a king who wanted to tell his friends something in total, complete secret. So he said, "Extinguish the lamps and the lights that I may converse with my friend in secret." And that's when he revealed the Jacob's ladder. But no, he didn't want anybody else to see it. Okay? So what the idea here is everything that Messiah will do in the days of Messiah has already been done by the fathers. And that's the purpose, so that they can check to make sure that that's Messiah. Mm-hmm. Amen? Is this important? Is this interesting to anybody else but me? Okay, then also in Psalm 139, let's go to Psalm 139. That's a neat one. It's like the others aren't neat.
Just skip the uninteresting one and go straight. Psalm 139.
139. And let's start verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Now this is the whole meaning of Revelation, when you come into this understanding that we no longer need the light of the sun or the moon or the stars, for the Lamb of God is our light. And this is a critical understanding. There's no darkness. There's no place that's any darker than any place else. There's no place that God is. There's no house of God. There's no building that has something to do with God any more than any other building. The corner church is no more holy than the corner whorehouse. In fact, J.W. Lumen calls the churches whorehouses. Hi, Jay, if you're listening. So the point is that, well, let's go on some more. God decreed that the days of man are 70. Well, how is it possible then to have eternal life? The two witnesses, Elijah and Enoch. Wisdom and prophecy and the two witnesses that never died in the book of Revelation. Is it possible that God will revive the dead for us? He has done so already through Elijah, Elisha, and Ezekiel. It's interesting. They said Ezekiel, it was well known where Elisha and Elijah raised the dead. But they said Ezekiel raised the dead because he called to the valley of the dry bones and they came to life. Everything which God does in the age of Messiah has already been done in the prophets, but not in one person. He will make kings bow down before you. In Daniel, that's what happened. He'll open the eyes of the blind, as in Elisha. So that's, you got to see this. That's why there is no separation between old and new. It's Testament and completed Testament. Because I promise you, you won't understand the completed Testament if you didn't know what the first Testament was. Otherwise, you'll take all these little things that you hear as commandments or you should or principles of life, and instead of causing them to shut up your mouth, you'll try to live by them. And then you'll have to act. You'll have to become a hypocrite because you cannot live by them. There's nothing worse on the face of the earth than hypocrites in my eyes. Peace.
I got to ask, at the end of Ecclesiastes, it said, fear God and keep his commandments.
I just told you, that's what I said when I read that. The only one that can keep his commandments is Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the commandments. That's why he must be your life and you must die. It's not that you should die, it's you must recognize that you're already dead. And that this being that has been masquerading as Michael Carlson is not anything. He's not real. He's invented. You invented him. Until you see that, you're going to keep paying attention to your little ideas. Do you understand that? All right. What? Why are you laughing at me again?
He's happy.
We've tried that before. It doesn't work. Do you see me laughing? It never ends. Okay, back in this is great. This one is we're not going to be able to get to this one, but I'm going to give you a hint. Where it says God requireth that which is past in Ecclesiastes 3:15, that which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. The part that says God requireth that which is past is a little goofy in translation. It says, in the right translation, you can go look it up yourself, God seeketh that which is pursued. So, with that, we'll wait till Monday.
All those. Yeah, I know.
What?
It's an enigma. But all those
would
things.
Would you do something with her? Somebody do something about her.
All those things you're reading about, the stuff that Christ fulfilled, because in each one of these prophets and ancient fathers have done. That's why you're reading that, because it says that which is
has been is now, that which is to be has already been.
Well, I didn't even get that until you read it again and just went on to the next thing.
That's why I read that.
I thought maybe others might need to push that together like what I did.
Talk.
Well, I might make fun of you if you talk. If you're going to be worried about my response to your talk, then you're not talking anyway.
I'm just worried about how I sound on tape.
Have you
No. There you go.
You're not that concerned, I think.
Maybe I'm lying.
Anybody have any response to anything studied this morning? Anything hit you? Anybody curious about what it means, God seeketh that which is pursued?
Well, yeah, because we don't know that.
Stay tuned. For an offering of
gift offer number.
Yeah.
Can we all say hi to Aaron?
Hi, who?
Aaron
is listening.
All right.
Everybody say 1, 2, 3. Hi, Aaron. Now watch. Now she's throwing up.
Hey, I want that when I return.
You want to say hi, Jeremy?
Yeah, every morning.
No,
every morning.
He wants you to say hi, Aaron.
He said he wanted that when he returned. So now when he returns, we'll say hi, Aaron again. All right, take it, big guy, quickly.